walking the whole block.
Baptist Church, if you guys want to go ahead and find your hymnals, we're going to turn to page number 66. It's page number 66 at Calvary. It's page number 66. Years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified. Knowing not it was for me, he died on Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. Found liberty at Calvary. By God's word at last my sin I learned. Then I trembled at the law I'd spurned, till my guilty soul imploring turned to Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burden so found liberty at Calvary. Oh, the love that drew salvation's plan. Oh, the grace that brought it down to man. Oh, the mighty gulf that God did span at Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burden soul found liberty at Calvary. Now I give to Jesus everything. Now I gladly own him as my king. Now my raptured soul can only sing of Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burden soul found liberty at Calvary. All right, excellent singing, everybody. Brother Paul, would you please open us up in a word of prayer?
Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this day. Thank you so much for those who were able to make it. We just pray for the health and safe travels of Brother Paul and members of Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. All right, if you want to take your hymnals, we're going to turn to page number 31. It's page number 31, He Lives. Page number 31. ever risen Savior, He's in the world today. I know that He is living, whatever men may say. I see His hand of mercy, I hear His voice of cheer. And just the time I need Him, He's always near. He lives, He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives within my heart. In all the world around me, I see His loving care. And though my heart grows weary, I never will despair. I know that He is leading through all the stormy blast. The day of His appearing will come at last. He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives within my heart. Rejoice, rejoice, O Christian, lift up your voice and sing. Eternal hallelujahs to Jesus Christ the King, the hope of all who seek Him, the help of all who find. None other is so loving, so good and kind. He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. Walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives within my heart. All right, excellent singing, everybody. This time we will have our announcements.
All right, good morning, everyone. The verse of the week is Galatians 2, verse 21. Galatians 2, verse 21. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for it is righteousness come by the law. Then Christ is dead in vain. That's Galatians 2, verse 21. Service times are 10:30 this morning, 3:30 this afternoon, 6:30 on Wednesday. Solemn times were yesterday at 12:30, today at 1 p.m., Salvations for May have been 10, so a total of 81 for the year so far. All right, attendance down below. Upcoming things. I think this is today. You got the memory challenge for 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Just got to recite it to the Thompsons, and there is a reward for doing so. All right, June 9th is the next homeschool day at the church building here at 11 a.m. Please RSVP with Miss Kylie. And Remy should be back. Brother Remy should be back this afternoon. Hopefully the flight and travel go safe. He's just coming back from the Red Hot preaching. So with that, we'll start with Jason this morning, and then Remy should be preaching this evening. All right, kids, your current verse is Psalms 59, verse 17. Psalms 59, verse 17. Unto thee, O my strength, will I sing, for God is my defense and the God of my mercy. That's Psalms 59, verse 17. Rules are down the same. Tithe information is below. No further anniversaries and birthdays for May. And let's turn to the Lord in prayer.
All right, if you want to take your psalm books or your Bibles and turn to Psalm number 150. Psalm number 150. Psalm number 150. We'll sing it out on the first. Praise ye the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in the firmament. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Praise Him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise Him with the psaltery and harp. Praise Him with the timbrel and dance. Praise Him with stringed instruments and organs. Praise Him upon the loud cymbals. Praise Him upon the high sounding cymbals. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. All right, excellent singing, everybody. Brother Paul, would you please pray for the offering?
Father, thank you so much for what we have, and let us remember, Lord, be grateful to you, because you said, try me, and you will see the blessings which I can give you.
Amen. Amen.
Good morning, everyone. Go ahead and take your Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 20. Matthew chapter 20 will be our text this morning. And as always, here at our church, we read the entire chapter before the preaching. Matthew chapter 20, the Bible reads, "For the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and said unto them, Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, I will give it you. And they went their way, and again, he went out about the sixth and ninth hour and did likewise. And about the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing idle, and saith unto them, Why stand ye here all the day idle? They say unto him, Because no man hath hired us. He saith unto them, Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that shall ye receive. So when even was come, the Lord of the vineyard saith unto his steward, Call the laborers and give them their hire, beginning from the last unto the first. And when they came that were hired about the 11th hour, they received every man a penny. But when the first came, they supposed that they should have received more. And they likewise received every man a penny. And when they had received it, they murmured against the good men of the house, saying, These last have wrought but 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal unto us, which have borne the burden of the heat of the day. But he answered one of them and said, Friend, I do thee no wrong. Didst thou not agree with me for a penny? Take that as thine, and go thy way. I will give unto this last, even as unto thee. Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own? Is thine eye evil because I am good? So the last shall be first, and the first last. For many be called, but few chosen. And Jesus, going up to Jerusalem, took the 12 disciples apart in the way, and said unto them, Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be betrayed unto the chief priests and unto the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death, and shall deliver him to the Gentiles to mock and to scourge and to crucify him, and the third day he shall rise again. Then came to him the mother of Zebedee's children with her sons, worshiping him and desiring a certain thing of him. And he said unto her, What wilt thou? She saith unto him, Grant that these two, my two sons, may sit the one on thy right hand and the other on the left in thy kingdom. But Jesus answered and said, Ye know not what ye ask. Are ye able to drink of the cup that I shall drink of, and to be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? They say unto him, We are able. And he saith unto them, Ye shall drink indeed of my cup, and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with. But to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared of my Father. And when the 10 heard it, they were moved with indignation against the two brethren. But Jesus called them unto him and said, Ye know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them. But it shall be not so among you, but whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many. And as they departed from Jericho, a great multitude followed him. And behold, two blind men sitting by the wayside, when they heard that Jesus passed by, cried out, saying, Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou Son of David. And the multitude rebuked them, because they should hold their peace. But they cried the more, saying, Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou Son of David. And Jesus stood still and called them and said, What will ye that I should do unto you? And they said unto him, Lord, that our eyes may be opened. So Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes, and immediately their eyes received sight, and they followed him. Brother Paul, could you pray for the preaching?
Heavenly Father, thank you so much for allowing us to be here to hear your word read to us, but may our ears be open now because the message builds off this chapter. May our minds be expanded, may our hearts be refreshed, and may the Lord be honored with this sermon. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. All right, so we're here, we're there in Matthew chapter number 20, but I want to have you go ahead and turn to Ecclesiastes. Chapter number 9, Ecclesiastes chapter number 9, and the title of my sermon this morning is Life Just Isn't Fair. Life just is not fair. And we're going to be coming back to Matthew chapter number 20 to kind of go over that story a little bit. But here in Ecclesiastes chapter number 9, verse number 11, the Bible reads, it says, I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, neither yet bread to the wise, nor yet riches to men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill, but time and chance happeneth to them all. And so, you know, this verse in Ecclesiastes chapter number 9 is telling us, look, you know, sometimes in life, things, the outcomes are not always as we think that they should be. You know, every once in a while, you know, the guy that's the strongest or the guy that's the fastest, he doesn't actually win the race for, you know, whatever reason. Maybe that guy got injured, or maybe, you know, a bug flew in his throat or something. You know, who knows? Like, there's all kinds of reasons why, you know, he might not have won. You know, or the battle to the strong, right? You know, maybe the most skilled army didn't win, you know, for whatever reason. Maybe the other commander was just more clever, or, you know, maybe the terrain was fake. You know, there's all kinds of different reasons, right? And, you know, at the end of this verse here, there's a very interesting phrase that says, "Time and chance happeneth to them all."
Yeah.
And here the Bible is, I would say, it's referring to what we would call luck. Right? And a lot of people, they'll come to this conclusion that says, "Hey, luck isn't real. I don't believe in luck." Right? But the thing about it is, and a lot of people will say, "Hey, the Bible doesn't, you know, I don't believe in luck because I'm a Christian," or whatever. But the reality is that the Bible teaches that there is such thing as luck. Time and chance, right, happeneth to them all. And so, you know, a lot of people, you know, they have this idea that they want life to be fair. And we all generally, we have this idea that we want life to be fair. Amen. You know, we want to see things that are fair happen in the world. You know, especially, right, if we're the recipients of the unfairness, right? If we feel that we've been wronged in some way, and life isn't just like, but if we're receiving, you know, if we got the luck of the draw, right, then we're like, "Well, life isn't fair, but that's just how it is. You know, I want, you know." But, you know, whenever we're the recipients of the unfairness, we're like, "Hey, you know, why isn't life fair?" Well, the reality of the world is that life isn't fair.
Right.
Okay. That's just the way it is. You know, sometimes, you know, you might have been like the best person for a position, and somebody else got the position, right? There could be situations where, you know, some like bum wins the lottery or something like that. And it's like, well, how could this idiot here win the lottery? And when he has done nothing good in his life, he's provided nothing for society, but yet he got all these riches. This isn't fair. Right. And so, but the reality, we have to realize, you know, that God, he's in overall control of the universe. Like, he created the universe. He holds everything together.
Yeah.
But, you know, we need to realize that God is not orchestrating every single event that happens in life. Right. I mean, we can't sit here and when something bad happens, blame God.
Right.
When something bad happens, we can't sit here and blame God for it and say, "Well, why didn't he make this fair? You know, why didn't God intervene and make this right?" And so go ahead and turn to Ecclesiastes chapter number 10. So, you know, the kind of the point of my sermon is we need to realize that life isn't fair, and we shouldn't be blaming God for that, right? Because God is not making everything happen in our lives.
Right.
We do need to realize that God, he is involved in our lives. I'm not here to say that nothing in your life happens because of God. There are many things that happen in life because of God. However, we can't sit here and attribute everything that goes on in the world to God.
Right.
Because think about all the wickedness that goes on in this world.
Yep.
Are we going to sit here and blame God for that?
Nope.
Absolutely not. And think about all the bad things that have happened to you directly because of your decisions. Has anything bad happened because of your decisions in your life?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I've had things that bad things have happened to me. Why? Because of the guy in the mirror.
Yeah.
Right? Because I did something dumb, right? But there's also other things that happen in our lives that happen not necessarily because you made a bad decision, because you did something wrong. It was just the luck of the draw. Right? You know, people have gotten into, you know, different car accidents and what happened, you know, whatnot. You know, like I was in a car accident several months ago where, you know, I stopped because there was a car in front of me that stopped, and then I get hit. Now, was that like, you know, am I going to sit here and be like, "Well, God didn't protect me from, you know, having this car accident"? You know, no. Because, you know, God wasn't necessarily just controlling the guy behind me, you know, and his driving.
Right.
Right. But, you know, maybe God could have, you know, caused the guy to swerve, or maybe, you know, make him, you know, pay attention or whatever. Maybe he could have done that, you know, but he didn't.
Right.
But I'm not going to sit here and blame God and be like, "Well, that's not fair."
Amen.
You know, because look, time and chance happeneth to them all.
Yeah.
You know, was it very likely for me to get into a car accident? No. But it happened. Time and chance happeneth to them all. But in Ecclesiastes number 10, verse number 5, it says, "There is an evil which I have seen under the sun, as an error which proceedeth from the ruler. Folly is set in great dignity, and the rich sit in low places. I have seen servants upon horses and princes walking as servants upon the earth." And so what the Bible here is saying is that, you know, basically the Ecclesiastes, or, you know, Solomon, he's saying, look, I've seen, like, the world backwards at times. Yeah, yep. It's like where you have some fool, he's in a place of authority. And then the guy that's really smart, he's like a servant. It's like, you know, why is this happening? This doesn't seem fair. And, you know, we can see this, in our world today, where you have all kinds of people in positions of authority that are just fools, you know?
Yep.
I mean, you think about, you know, all the people in our government that, you know, it seems like they're complete morons, but yet they've been put into this position of power. You know, like the head of the FBI or something.
AOC.
You know, how did AOC, how is she a congressman? I mean, she has an IQ, you know, north of 60, and it's like, how did she become a congressman? But it's just the way the world works sometimes. You know, you can get a complete moron into a position of power. It's like, you know, how did this happen? What in the world? And, you know, but you'll have somebody that's like really smart, you know, and they don't get into that position of power. But then you have some fool, right? And, you know, you see this through, like, different corruptions and whatnot in our world. And it's, unfortunately, it's just the way the world is. Because we live in a sinful world, right, this is the type of stuff that's going to go on.
Yeah.
And, you know, you can see that kind of thing happening in your life on a smaller level, right?
Yeah.
It's something that we just have to deal with as human beings. And here's the thing, you know, life isn't fair, the world's not fair, but, you know, especially as saved Christians, you know, we should be able to deal with it, because we should be able to realize, well, guess what? We're actually major recipients of, you know, the lack of fairness,
yeah.
Right? Because, you know, is it fair for Jesus to come and suffer and pay the penalty for my sin?
Nope.
And then I just get, I don't have to pay for my sin at all? Is that fair?
No.
No. That's not fair. And so we're massive recipients of lack of fairness.
Amen.
So, you know, as saved Christians, you know, we shouldn't be sitting around lamenting the fact that life isn't fair, because we're major beneficiaries of that fact, that life isn't fair. That Jesus took the unfair punishment, you know, that we deserved upon himself and took it for us. And we don't have to suffer those consequences. Now, you know, so when we're suffering through life, you know, the fact that unfair things happen, we should be able to deal with those things. Now, the unsaved world, you know, it shouldn't surprise us, it shouldn't shock us when they're upset that the world isn't fair. Because at the end of the day, you know, if they don't get saved, they're going to have to pay for their sins. And they're going to have to get that divine justice from God and go to hell.
Yeah.
Unfortunately for them, right? And so, you know, we as Christians, though, we should be able to look at the world and be like, well, this thing happened, it's not fair, but I'm not going to get upset about it, I'm not going to freak out about it, because, you know, I'm benefiting from the lack of fairness. From the fact that God, you know, put that punishment on Jesus Christ for us,
yeah.
Which wasn't fair,
yeah.
But we get to benefit from that.
Amen.
Amen. And so, but, you know, as human beings, I think I was kind of mentioning this earlier. Go ahead and turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. You know, actually, 1 Peter chapter number 2. If I could get a glass of water, that would be fantastic. So here in 1 Peter chapter number 2, verse number 20, it says, "For what glory is it if when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently? But if when ye do well, and ye suffer for it, ye take it patiently. This is acceptable with God." So the Bible here, you know, it's contrasting, you know, taking suffering and being buffeted for your faults, for, in other words, what you did wrong, contrasting that with being buffeted for things that you did right. Right?
Yeah.
Because some, you know, and, you know, this doesn't happen, you know, I would say, especially in 2026 America, this isn't happening like a ton. Okay, it's not like I can't sit here and say, like, my whole life I've just been doing everything right and doing everything correct, and every time I do something correct, I get punished for it, you know. Personally, I can't really say that. You know, maybe every once in a while something like that happens. But it is a reality, amen.
Yeah.
Sometimes in life, things like that do happen. And in other places and other times in history, I'm sure it happened to people a lot more than it's happening to 2026 Christians. Amen. And so, you know, the Bible is saying that this is a reality where, you know, you could do something that is right in the sight of God, do something that's correct, and, you know, it seems like you're punished for it. Like something bad happens as a result of it. You know, and I guess a good example of this would be when we're out soul winning, if somebody just like freaks out, like, ah! You know, it's like, oh man, you know, no good deed goes unpunished. Well, you know, that happens every once in a while. And honestly, that's not a big deal, especially if you've been soul winning for a while. You kind of get used to it, right? You know, every once in a while, somebody just really explodes. And it's like, whoa, like what happened here? Like, do you need like counseling? You know, or maybe a padded box? We're not sure. But it's like, you know, so every once in a while things like this happen, right?
Yeah.
But, you know, honestly, you know, we're not dealing with like actual real persecution where, you know, we're physically suffering or anything like that. We just have somebody freak out on us every once in a while. Maybe somebody will call the cops or whatever.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, did we really deserve that? No, we didn't. But here's the thing. Life isn't fair.
Right.
It's not fair. Right? And so, you know, we should be able to put up with it. And look, the thing about it is that this is, the Bible says here, when you take it patiently, you know, this is acceptable with God. Right? So when somebody just freaks out on us, right, flips out on us at the door, you know, the proper response is probably not to flip them off, but to take it patiently, right?
Yeah.
Just take it patiently. Let it, you know, it should be like water off a duck's back. You know, just don't worry about it, you know, and don't let it, you know, consume. And there is this temptation, you know, where you just kind of dwell on it. Like, oh, that guy, how can't he see how wrong he is? Like, you know, there's this temptation to kind of dwell on these things. But honestly, you know, when injustices happen, when lack of fairness happens in our lives, you know, one thing that we shouldn't do is just sit there and dwell on it. And just think about it and let it simmer in our minds or whatever. Because for one, it's not going to do you any good. It's not going to help you at all. You know, you should just forget about those things, let it go. Maybe have a laugh about it, right? You know, I oftentimes enjoy coming back from soul winning and just talking about the crazy thing that happened. Like the crazy guy that was just standing out by his door, be like, hey, don't come to my door with that Bible talking to me about God. Like, oh, you know. You know, these crazy people, right? It's you know, sometimes it's fun to come back and talk about those things.
Yeah.
But you do want to avoid letting those things bother you.
Yeah.
You know, when you lay down the head on your pillow at night, you don't want to be thinking about all the injustices that happen to you during the day.
Right?
Because, for one, you're probably not going to be able to do anything about it. You're not going to change the outcome. You're not going to be able to fix the situation, especially if it's some freak out soul winning, right? You can't fix it. There's nothing you can do about it. So don't think about it. Just let it go, because, you know, you're just causing yourself more stress, more heartache for no reason.
Yeah.
Right? You're suffering for free. You know, my wife always says, like, you're drowning in a glass of water. like there's no reason for it, okay? It's just just forget about it and move on, right? But we as human beings, you know, we have there's a strong desire for fairness, right? And go ahead and turn to Matthew chapter number 20. It's in human nature that, you know, we if we feel that we've been wronged or whatever, we have a strong desire for things to be fair. Amen. And there's a the story that kind of connects to this here in Matthew chapter number 20, which is, of course, the chapter we read for the preaching. It says in Matthew chapter number 20, verse number 1, it says, "For the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard." So basically, you know, there's a guy, he owns a vineyard, and he's hiring laborers, right? And he agrees to pay them a certain amount, you know, a day's worth of labor, whatever, which is apparently is a penny back in that time. Probably at least a Canadian wheat penny or something like that, I don't know. I don't know if that's Canadian or if it's just, I don't know. I'll have to ask Bill Sweeney about, you know. He'll know. But anyways, verse number 3 says, "And he went out the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace and said unto them, Go ye also into the vineyard. Whatsoever is right, I will give you. And they went their way. And again he went out at the sixth hour and the ninth hour and did likewise. And about the 11th hour he went out and found others standing idle, and saith unto them, Why stand ye here all the day idle? They said unto him, Because no man hath hired us. He saith unto them, Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that shall ye receive. And when even was come, the Lord of the vineyard said unto his steward, Call the laborers and give them their hire, beginning from the last unto the first. And when they came that were hired about the 11th hour, they received every man a penny. And when the first came, they supposed that they should have received more. And they likewise received every man a penny. And when they had received it, they murmured against the good man of the house, saying, These last have wrought but 1 hour. And thou hast made them equal unto us, which have borne the burden, which have borne the burden and the heat of the day. But he answered one of them and said, Friend, I do thee no wrong. Didst thou agree with me for a penny? Take that is thine and go thy way. I will give unto this last even as unto thee. Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own? Is thine eye evil because I am good?" So we see here in this story, right, that basically you have the first people that are working for 12 hours for one penny, and then everybody else that works less time, they're also working for one penny. You know, and the most egregious, right, would be the people that came in at the last hour. They worked for 60 minutes, and they still got one penny. And the people that work for 12 hours, they're upset about this, right? They're like, hey, you know, how come they're getting a penny? And, you know, the good man of the house, he's like, hey, am I a Jew? Am I, like, supposed to be, like, a coin clipper or something? Like, you want me to cut up the penny? You know, there's ridges on the coins for a reason, you know? The householder, he's like, Google why there's ridges on the coins. He's like, you want me to be some kind of a Jew, like, you know, to Jew them out of a penny or something, right? But they're upset because somebody that worked for 1 hour got the same pay as them.
Right.
Now, here's the thing about this. We might look at that situation and be like, that's not fair. But really, is it unfair, though? Is it really unfair? I mean, what if, let's think about this. What if I came in here and I gave, let's say I gave Brother Paul and Brother Ryan, I just gave them both $1,000. Like, oh, that's fair, right? That's fair. Okay. What if I gave Ryan $1,000 and then Paul, since he left the room, $500? Would that be fair? Would there be anything unfair about that? No. Okay, what if I did this? What if I gave every single person in this room, including Mini Paul, $1,000, and I gave Paul nothing? Would that be unfair? If I just waltzed in here and just started handing out cash, make it rain, you know, except for Paul. Would that wouldn't be unfair. Why? Because did I do anything wrong to Paul? I didn't do anything wrong to him. I just blessed somebody else, right? I blessed everybody else. Now somebody might start, you know, somebody might be like, well, what's the deal with, how come Brother Paul didn't get anything? You know, Brother Paul might be thinking the same thing, like, how come I didn't get anything, right? Well, you know, but the reality is that I didn't do anything wrong to Paul.
Yeah.
Right? So there's nothing actually unfair about the situation. Now, you know, somebody might perceive it as being unfair, but the reality is that if I wanted to give everybody in here $1,000, except for Brother Paul, there would actually be nothing actually wrong with that. Mm-hmm. You know, or if I just gave one person $1,000, you know, and that's the other thing. It's like, you know, if I gave one person $1,000, probably nobody would blink an eye at that, right? They'd be like, oh, cool, you know, so-and-so got $1,000. But if, like, if everybody got $1,000 except for one person, then it's like, oh, this is unfair. But fundamentally, did something different happen? I mean, is it something fundamentally different? No. Right? It's like, you know, the householder, he can give however much money he wants to each individual. Right? You know, and also, you know, of course, there's the detail of the fact that he agreed for a penny with the original people. And the other people, hey, had no idea what they were going to get paid. But, you know, even without that fact, the reality is that the householder can give what he wants to any individual. And, you know, God, he can bless the nation of Israel, or he can bless individuals however he wants, right?
Right.
He can give one person great riches. He can give another person very little riches or no riches. And yet, you know, it's still not something that you could really say is unfair. Why? Because the reality is that all the blessings, however, you know, whatever blessings you compare one to another, at the end of the day, they're still blessings that you didn't necessarily deserve.
That's right.
You know, the Bible says that it rains on the righteous and the wicked, right? So, you know, we as human beings, we're receiving blessings from the Lord all the time, every single day, right? And, you know, we didn't do anything to earn these blessings necessarily, because according to the Bible, what we've earned is death, right? That's what we would actually deserve, is death. And so anything we get over and above that is truly a blessing, right? And so if one person is blessed more than another person, you know, that shouldn't upset us, right? We shouldn't allow that to make us mad, right? And we shouldn't sit around saying like, man, that's not fair. That's not fair. Because the thing about it is, like, you know, this type of thing I'm sure happens all the time. Like, if, let's say, you know, there was an owner of a business, right? And he has two employees and they're both doing the exact same thing. And he's paying, you know, one person a certain wage. Let's say, you know, one person is getting, you know, $40,000 a year. But then the other employee, he just likes him and he gives him $80,000 a year, right? Did the owner of the business, did he do anything wrong? No. He's just blessing one person more than the other, right? And so, you know, somebody might say, well, that's not fair, but the reality is that the owner can do what he wants with his money, right? So just like this householder. You know, and so I did kind of want to mention the fact that there is, you know, there is some correlation between fairness and justice, right? So those are going to be pretty similar things, but there is a difference, right? And, you know, fairness, like, you know, somebody might say, well, you know, this thing that happened was unfair, but, you know, wasn't necessarily criminal, though. Because when we're thinking about something that's, you know, unfair versus unjust, right? You know, you could have something that, you know, we would say, well, that's just not fair, right? But, you know, did criminal activity happen? Like in that situation, you know, somebody could make the argument that, hey, that's not really fair if they're doing the exact same job, but they have completely different salaries. You know, you could make the argument that that's not fair.
Right.
Okay. But you couldn't really make the argument that it's like criminal or something.
Right.
That it's unjust, right? You know, and the Bible does talk about the fact that, hey, you know, basically masters should pay his servants properly. He should pay them well. He shouldn't be like ripping them off or whatever.
Yep.
But, you know, as long as he's paying them a proper wage for whatever they're doing, you know, you can't just be like, well, you know, he should be paying everybody the same thing. Because, you know, the reality is that, you know, life is going to be unfair because God's, for one, I mean, God's not a communist. He's not making everything and everybody the exact same.
Amen. Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. You know, we don't all look the same. We don't all sound the same. You know, we don't all have the same temperaments. We're different, right? God made us all different. And so there's going to be different outcomes, right? Because God, I mean, think about it, like, how boring would that be if we just all looked exactly the same?
Yeah.
We all acted exactly the same. We all just did the exact same thing. It's like a giant hive mind where it's all, it's like the Borg, right? Everyone's completely equal. Nobody's having any like out of range thoughts. You know, we're all just like robots, you know, doing the, you know, same stuff, right? I mean, how boring and pathetic would that be?
Amen.
That would be terrible. And so, you know, does anybody want to live like that? Live in a hive? Does anybody want to go join a Borg cube today? Resistance is futile. Nobody would want to do that, right? You know, if you're watching Star Trek, you're like, oh no, the hero, he got turned into a Borg. No! Right? Because, you know, that seems like horrible to us. But if you wanted everything to be fair, right, in the world today, that you would kind of have to have like a Borg cube situation where nobody's getting anything that they, you know, nobody's getting more than anybody else. You know, nobody's getting more resources. Nobody's getting more talents, you know, and everybody is just doing, you know, their job, you know, exactly the way that the Borg mind wants it or whatever. That's what you'd have to have in order to make everything completely and 100% fair in our minds, right? You know, if we wanted to go into Matthew chapter number 20, and no, it has to be 100% fair. You know, everybody's going to work 12 hours, and everyone's going to get one penny, you know, and we're definitely going to make sure that all the pennies have ridges, so nobody, you know, all the pennies are exactly equal in weight and of the same value, and, you know, not a Jew has seen put a breath on any of those coins, so they're all equal, right? And so, you know, that's what you would have to do, right? But who wants to live like that, though? Who wants to have everything exactly the same? Everyone has the exact same things. You know, and different societies have tried this, right? You know, you think about the Bolshevik Revolution over in Russia, where they tried to install communism, create communism, right? And what's the whole point of communism? Well, we're trying to make everything equal. I mean, who wants to go live in a commie block over in Russia today? No thanks. I'd rather not live. I'd rather live in America where, you know, you have different outcomes. You have unfair outcomes,
yeah,
right? Where, you know, if you want to, you know, you can work really hard and, you know, you don't have to live in a commie block. You can live in a regular house,
yeah.
You know, and you can have like a yard. You know, it's pretty nice that we don't live in commie blocks. We actually have yards that have your kids play in. It's pretty great, right? And so, you know, but if we had a completely and totally and utterly fair society, you know, like the communists claim to want, we'd all be living in a tiny, tiny apartment probably with very little heating, you know, and some commie block somewhere. And the reality is, of course, you know, in a communist society, you know, it's actually not fair because all the goy get the commie blocks and all the Jews, they get all the money and power, right? It's actually even more unequal than in like a capitalist society where it's like instead of the unequality being there because, you know, some people, choose different paths than other people so they get different outcomes, it's a forced outcome,
mm-hmm.
You know, which is far worse. Far, far worse.
Yeah.
But, you know, in our world, though, you know, there's a lot of things that we would perceive as being unfair that are really actually not unfair. But the reality is that unfair things do happen, and we should just realize that that's the world we live in. The world is unfair because man is sinful, because of our sin that we've screwed up. And so we should just realize that, accept that, and just do the best with the cards that we're handed. Amen? Yeah. Go ahead and turn to John chapter number 21. John chapter number 21. And, you know, there's lots of different examples of this type of thing happening in the Bible. But this is a really good one, I think, in John chapter number 21, where you have, you know, two different people that are living two different lives and they have two different outcomes. And it's like, well, this one's not fair. You know, this isn't fair, right? And here in John chapter number 21, this is basically when Jesus, you know, finds Peter, you know, fishing, you know, after he's supposed to be following Jesus Christ, doing his will, you know, after he's resurrected, right? You know, Peter decides he's going to go fishing for some reason. It's like, dude, Jesus rose, like, and then you're going to go fishing? Like, what? Dude. But he goes fishing, right? And this is, you know, this is after Jesus is like, hey, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? You know, Peter's like, you know that I love you. You know. And so right after that, in John chapter number 21, look at verse number 18. It says, verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou didst gird thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thine hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, follow me. Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and saith, Lord, which is he that bewrayeth thee? Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? Jesus saith unto him, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. And so what's going on here is just Jesus is telling Peter basically how he's going to die.
Right?
Now, you know, this stretching forth his hands, you know, a lot of people will say, well, hey, that's him stretching forth his hands on a cross.
Right.
And basically, you know, that's how people say that Peter died upside down on a cross, right? Mm-hmm. You know, maybe that happened, maybe it didn't. You know, we don't know exactly what Jesus is referring to there, but he's referring to what death he should die that should glorify God. Amen? And so Peter's going to die some way, somehow, that's going to glorify God. And then, you know, Peter, he's turning about. He's like, well, what about him? What about that guy? It's like, Jesus, he's like, well, if he literally never dies, if he's just alive until I come back, what does that have to do with you? What is that to thee?
Right.
Why? What? How is that going to affect you, Peter?
Yeah.
Like, this isn't fair, though. What about him? He, you know, I mean, Peter, you know, I guess he, you know, he probably is asking that because he realizes, like, oh, man, I'm going to die in some horrible way,
yeah.
You know, and he's like, well, what about him? You know, is he going to die? If I'm going to die in some horrible way, I want him to die in some horrible way. You know, what kind of a mentality is that? Like, I don't know, you know, so you know, Peter, he's a great character in the Bible, but he has a lot of moments where it's like, dude, like, what are you doing? You know, Jesus, he's like, hey, guess what? I'm going to die, and then I'm going to be resurrected. And then Peter's just like, that's not so. That's not going to happen. Be it far from thee. And then Jesus is like, hey, get behind me, Satan.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, Peter has all kinds of these little moments where he's just saying something dumb, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, we've all probably been like Peter where we're saying dumb stuff.
Yeah.
You know, it happens, right? We get that foot and mouth disease.
Yeah.
You know, it's something I suffer from greatly. And so, you know, but he's like, you know, what about him? You know, I want him to suffer too. I want him to be on the cross next to me. Now, like, this is not a good attitude, though. Like, if just because you're suffering, that doesn't mean that other people have to suffer with you.
Right.
You know, there's that saying that what it says, like, suffering loves company, right? And, you know, a lot. This is something that people do a lot of times. You know, if they're having a bad day, You know, they want to bring everyone else down to their level. But the thing about it is that somebody else's joy is not hurting you.
Amen.
Right? Like if somebody else is happy and they're excelling in life and life is just going great for them, everything's going well for them, does that actually hurt you? Is that harming you in any way? You know, and it's like, you know, oh yeah, but how come I can't have all the blessings that they have? You know, if you spend too much time on social media or whatever, you know, you'll see all the great things that are happening in other people's lives or whatever. And it's like, you know, you could get a sour attitude because it's like, well, how come they're not miserable like me? You know, but the reality is that if they were miserable like you, would you be happier? I mean, you shouldn't, right? That shouldn't make you happier. Maybe for somebody, maybe it does. I don't know. Like, they're just happier the more miserable everybody else is. I don't know. But that's a wicked attitude, though, right?
Yeah.
That's not an attitude that we should have. So if somebody else is being blessed, right? If somebody else, if their life's going perfect, if it's just going great, like nothing ever goes wrong, then just be happy for them. Just be glad for them, or just don't think about them. You know, if somebody else's happiness is just bothers you, I don't know what to do for you other than to say maybe, I don't know, maybe you could just pretend they're miserable. I don't know. But the reality is that, that is not an attitude that we should have.
Amen.
If somebody else is being blessed, just be happy for them, because the reality is that their blessing, this is not like a zero-sum game. Right? What's a zero sum game? Well, that's basically like if you have there's one pie, right? And the pie is only so big, and there's so many people that can have part of the pie. So whatever pie I take, I'm basically making so that other people can't have that. Right? That's a zero sum game. Right? So if I take half the pie, that means that there's half the pie that everybody else can't have. Right? And so if I take the whole pie, that means nobody else got any pie. Right? That's what a zero-sum game is that I win at the expense of others. Right? I receive pie at others' lack of pie. Right? And if I don't get pie, it's going to be to others' gain. Right? Other people are going to get more pie because I got less pie. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So, but here's the thing about it. Life is not a zero-sum game.
Yeah.
And joy is not a zero-sum game. You see, if I, the more joyful I am, I don't have to like suck joy out of other people to get that.
Right.
Right? And so, you know, if somebody else is happy, it's not like they've robbed your happiness. Right? They haven't taken anything from you. And so, you know, if somebody else is joyful and somebody else is happy, you know, don't let it, you know, don't let their joy suck your joy away, right?
Yeah.
Or make your misery worse, right? Because if people are thinking that way, it's just in their mind. It's not reality. So never let somebody else's happiness cause you to be, you know, an Eeyore, right? We don't need Eeyore Baptist Church. We need what's the Piglet? We need like Piglet, or we need Pooh Baptist Church. Winnie the Pooh, he's happy, right? I don't know. I'm making references I probably shouldn't. I don't know. You know, Winnie the Pooh. You know, he missed Piglet a lot, but that was a really good bacon sandwich. So I don't know. All right, that would be a zero sum game, right? You know, Pooh's happiness came at the expense of Piglet. Okay. All right. You know what? We're moving on from this point. All right. We're moving on. All right. Go ahead and turn to Proverbs chapter number 14. Proverbs chapter number 14. I had a bunch of little Pooh Bear, Winnie the Pooh books when I was a kid, but I don't remember enough about them to make those references. You know, I just remember that Eeyore is always grumpy, you know, and he needs to cheer up. Be happy. All right, so here, Proverbs chapter number 14, look at verse number 30. It says, a sound heart is the life of the flesh, but envy the rottenness of the bones. And a lot of where this fairness problem comes from is when people are envying other people, right? So if somebody else, if their life, if their joy or whatever is making you unhappy, what would we call that is envy, right? And so, you know, we're envying somebody else's either possessions or the life they have or how things are going for them or whatever it is. You know, if this is making you unhappy, we would call this envy, right? And what does the Bible says? It says envy is the rottenness of the bones. Now, if you think about it, you know, your bones are a pretty important part of your body, right? If you don't have strong bones, you're gonna have issues. And you know, there was this YouTuber that I used to watch every once in a while. What's his name? He was a gun tuber, and he was from the great state of Oregon, right? So, why can't I remember his name? Well, anyway, so this guy, he got pancreatic cancer, and he apparently at one point his hips broke, and then he fell down. Why? Well, because his bones were all messed up, right? And he, you know, eventually he died from pancreatic cancer. And you know, it's a sad situation, right? But you know, his bones basically were suffering from this pancreatic cancer. They became super weak to where his hips literally just broke while he's standing there, right? And you know, so that's kind of the picture that the Bible's painting here, where if you're just letting envy rule your life, like, it's like having pancreatic cancer and having your bones break. It's like the rottenness of the bones, right? And the thing about it is that, you know, like I was saying earlier, having this envy will not help you. It's not going to help you in any way, because whatever it is that you're envious of, you can't have it. You know, there's other things you can have. Again, this is not like a zero-sum game where if you have to take it from them in order for you to have it. That's not the case. That's not true. It's not a zero-sum game. And so being envious of other people will not help you. 2 Corinthians chapter number 10, verse number 12, it says, "For we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise." And so, you know, you shouldn't be sitting around just comparing yourself to other people necessarily, okay? You know, there's multiple ways you could do this that are negative, I would say. If you're just like sitting around and be like, "Hey, you know, I'm just so much better than so-and-so." Or, you know, if you're like, "Oh, you know, they just have it so easy, you know, like how come I can't have their life? It's just so easy. Nothing ever goes wrong for them." And they, you know, whatever it is, you know, these are evil ways to compare yourself.
Yeah.
Right. And, you know, especially if you're comparing yourself to like people that are, you know, in your life, right? You don't want to be doing that, because you could be causing strife and issues between people that you're living with, right? People that you're going to church with, or people that you're interacting with at the job site or whatever, right? If you want to compare yourself, you know, if you want to make yourself feel good, why don't you compare yourself to people in like third world countries or whatever? Compare yourself to them and then just be like, "Wow, I'm just so blessed," right? Why don't you do that, right? You know, if here's a tip, right? If you're taking your wife out and your family out on just like a cruise on a drive, right? Don't drive through like the rich neighborhood. Because then it's like, "Well, how come we can't have a house like that?" You know, drive through like the most ghetto part of the neighborhood you could find. And then it's like, "Wow, honey, I'm so glad you're such a great provider," right? Or you could just stay home and save the gas money, right? Wait till Operation Epstein Fury to end, yeah. You know, maybe the gas prices are going to go down, and then you can, you know, maybe think about having a drive with your family. But other than that, you know, you gotta save the tank. right? Tell your wife, hey, we can't go on a drive because, you know. But, well, for a couple reasons. We're going to be comparing ourselves among ourselves, which is not wise, and Epstein theory is still happening. So, you know, gas prices are still up. So, yeah. So, what was I saying with that? I have no idea. But, you know, you want to avoid making these bad comparisons with people, right? And, you know, because the thing about it is that you are living a very specific life. Right? You are living your life. You know, I'm living my life, right? My life is not the same as Brother Paul's. It's not the same as Brother Ryan's, right? It's not the same as anybody else in this room or anybody else on planet Earth. We have different difficulties and issues that we have to deal with, right? You know, so comparing ourselves among ourselves isn't really a productive thing to do. It's not a good thing to do, right? Now, you know, I'm sure that there are certain situations where you could, you know, make certain comparisons, right? I'm not going to condemn every single comparison ever, right? But there's a lot of situations where you just shouldn't be comparing yourself, right? Like if you're doing like a lot of Bible reading, you know, you probably shouldn't be just comparing yourself there, but it's, hey, brother, how much Bible did you read this week? 10 chapters? I had 65. You know, that's not a good comparison, is it? Right? Or maybe like if you were struggling to read the Bible last week, you know, maybe if somebody's like, hey, I did 65 chapters, you know, announcing it to, you know, it's probably not a good thing for them to be doing if they're just announcing they've read 65 chapters of the Bible.
Yeah.
You know, don't worry about that, right? Don't compare yourself to them. Don't let them get you down. Because here's the thing, like just the fact that they're announcing to the whole world how much Bible they've read, like only 10 chapters, 65, you know, that's not a spiritual thing for them to be doing. Amen. And they should be very embarrassed about that.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you see, you know, if you're comparing yourself like, oh man, I'm not doing well spiritually because of a comparison with other people, you shouldn't be doing that. Don't worry about those other people. Why? Well, because for one, they're on a different life track than you are.
Yeah.
Okay? You know, you should be comparing yourself to yourself, right?
Yeah.
Or you can compare yourself to Jesus, right? And, you know, here's the thing. When you compare yourself to Jesus, you know, we're never going to measure up, right? But, however, that is still the goal. Amen?
Yeah.
And so, but you should be comparing yourself to yourself, right? Like, hey, within yourself, you know, can you read more Bible?
Yeah.
Can you memorize more verses? Can you? And the answer to all those questions is yes, right? Amen. But, you know, have you spent enough time in prayer? Have you spent enough time doing X, Y, Z, right?
Yeah.
And so, you know, you shouldn't be worrying about other people's races,
mm-hmm.
right? Because God has set a race before you, and it's your job to run your race. You know, it's not your job to run everybody else's race, right? And so, you know, maybe somebody else's race is way easier. In track and field, you know, they'll have those races where they have to jump over the hurdles. And, you know, maybe somebody else, maybe they only got one hurdle, right? But you got like, I got like 10 hurdles. Well, you know, jump your hurdles. Do it with all the gusto and all the correct form. You know, get your toe up and, you know, at the right speed and whatever. Jump those hurdles. You know, and if you crash and burn on hurdles or whatever, just, you know, get back up and do it again.
Yeah.
You know?
Amen.
And, you know, because, hey, you know, maybe God put those hurdles in there for a reason. Or maybe there's no reason that there's hurdles there, but you just got to jump over them anyway.
Yeah.
Right? And God's going to bless you when you jump those hurdles without complaint. Right? Let's see here. Where was I? Philippians. Go ahead and turn to Philippians chapter number 2, verse number 14. We're going to be wrapping up here pretty soon. Philippians chapter number 2. Look at verse number 14. It says, "Do all things without murmuring and disputing, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world." And so, you know, even if you have more hurdles than somebody else, You know, again, jump over those things without complaining, without disputing. Be like, hey, you know, say, somebody get these extra hurdles, get these hurdles off of my lane and put them in his lane. He needs more hurdles, you know. Put more hurdles in his lane. No, he doesn't. He doesn't need any more hurdles. You know, maybe you can't see all the hurdles that that guy has to jump. You know, again, you know, when you're going back to that comparison verse, if you're comparing your life to other people's lives, do you have all the data to compare, to make a good comparison with? No, you don't have all the data. You don't know what their life is truly like. You don't know all the things that go on. You don't know all the different struggles that they had to go through during the day or whatever. And so, you know, just do your job without murmuring and disputing, you know. And, you know, be blameless in the sight of God, and God is going to be happy with that. And, you know, when you go through difficulties and, you know, you just suffer through unfair situations in life and you don't whine and complain about it, that is a great testimony before the world. Right, that's going to make you a shining light before the world. Like, especially, you know, if you suffer through something at work, like where, you know, you just get blatantly, you know, defrauded or something. You know, something unfair happens, amen? And, you know, everyone sees that and you don't let it bother you, then that's a great testimony.
Yeah, amen.
Right? People are like, wow, you know, that guy, you know, he obviously should have got the promotion, but somebody else did. And that was totally unfair, but he's not bothered by it. You know, that's kind of like the lifestyle evangelism, right? You know, and I believe in lifestyle evangelism so long as it's not a replacement for soul winning, amen?
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with lifestyle evangelism unless it's replacing soul winning, right? And so, you know, it's a good testimony so that when you do have the opportunity to present the gospel to somebody, they're not like, well, you know, he just freaked out and had a major hissy fit when he didn't get the promotion. So why would I listen to him? Right? That means you're not a very good light. But if you take those things patiently, then you can be a good light to those that are around you. And, you know, the more, you know, people around you are freaking out about these different things, and the less you are, the more of a light that you're going to be. Right? The darker the world gets around us, the easier it is to shine and just be a good example.
Yeah.
Right? And so, you know, again, the title of the sermon is Life Just Isn't Fair. And, you know, we should be okay with that. We shouldn't let it bother us. And, you know, when other people are blessed and we're not, we should be okay with that.
Yeah.
You know, if I were to give $1,000 to everybody except for Paul, you know, Paul just needs to be okay with that. By the way, I'm not giving anybody $1,000. Yeah, that's not fair. You know, I was thinking about getting like a bunch of pennies and just like handing out pennies to everybody except for Paul, but, you know, I don't know. I didn't have enough. I had some pennies. Yeah, it's too cheap, right? I had some pennies, but they were like covered in like sticky stuff, and it's like, eh, you know. I don't know if people are going to want the penny. I'm going to like pick up my notes and it's going to stick to my hands, and it's like, oh, man. Not good. Then, you know, there'll be people like, hey, you gave me this penny. This wasn't fair. It stuck to my hand. I can't get rid of it. You know, like, it's yours forever. All right. Well, anyways, you know, again, life isn't fair. You know, we should be okay with this. You know, don't let it upset you. It is what it is, right? And guess what? We're the recipients of unfairness, and we should be very happy about that, because it wasn't fair for Jesus to pay for our sins for us. And you know what? I'm really happy that life isn't fair, because I get salvation for free, right? And so let's go ahead and bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day, Lord. I thank you for everything you've done for us, Lord. We pray that you please help us to get through life, even though it is not fair. And help us to rejoice in the blessings we receive, and not lament the fact that others may be blessed more in our lives, or that we think that they're blessed more. Help us, Lord, to rejoice in the blessings that we receive, and help us to only look at others' lives so that we can look to bless them, Lord, and look to the things of others and not to the things of our own. In dear Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
All right, if you want to take your hymnals... going to turn to page number 316. Page number 316, I have decided to follow Jesus. It's page number 316. We'll sing it out on the first.
I have decided to follow Jesus. Follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. Though none go with me, still I will follow. Though none go with me, still I will follow. Though none go with me, still I will follow. No turning back, no turning back. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. No turning back, no turning back.
All right, excellent. Thank you, everybody. Brother Paul, would you please close us in a word of prayer?
Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this day. Thank you for allowing us to hear this message. To remind ourselves, Lord, do not get stuck into the fleshly concerns of envy or who gets what and if I did or they didn't. Lord, let us just always remember, Lord, in the end, this life isn't fair. But thank goodness we were saved because of your grace, because we didn't deserve the great gift that was bestowed upon us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.